I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KISW Metal Shop. Right now I'm talking with Greg Anderson from many projects. We're going to be talking about all that stuff. He's got a new solo album under the name The Lord. He is the Lord of Southern Lord Records. Album coming out April 23rd. He's from Sun, Engine Kid, Goatsnake, Burning Witch, Galleon's Lap, Brotherhood, and The Lord. But before we started, we were chatting a little bit about how KISW and Metal Shop kind of was a very important in your progression as a metalhead. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was, you know, KISW was my first exposure to hard rock, yeah. You know, this AC/DC, Zeppelin, you know, that's my first Van Halen, like those early Van Halen records. So probably about like 1978,
yep,
is when I started listening to KISW and then just really like, you know, it was always something that I tried to listen to as much as I possibly could. Anytime I was in the car with my parents, or, you know, if I had, you know, at home, if I was able to listen to something on my own, that was the station I was dialed into. And then when Metal Shop came around, that was also really important as well. You know, like Jeff Gilbert.
Yep.
You know, those exposure to a lot of like, underground stuff that I didn't know about, you know, but it, you know, KISW is an important gateway for me for sure.
That's the best part is that's how I feel like, you know, on a Saturday night playing like a, you know, like a black metal record. I'm like, I am getting to some kid out in the suburbs that this is going to be their gateway. So that's the best feeling, man. You know what I got to do? Once we're off the phone, I'm going to have to get your address so I can send you an old school KISW rock with the rock logo. One of those.
Oh, man. I would love that. I mean, when I was probably sixth grade, I think I had one of those. And
did you get some of the Squire roll-ups. Shop?
Oh, man. Yeah. The Squire Shop, get your James jeans and your, you know, your KISW shirt.
Dude,
and your, awesome. Your Dr. J Converse. Yeah. It was, that was the look. But, and I had stickers plastered all over my, folders and notebooks and all that stuff. Yeah.
That's
awesome. Huge part of my life, man. And then a lot of those like KISW Rising Star concerts that were really cheap, you know, a couple bucks to get into. That was like my exposure, you know, my first exposure to, you know, some of those bands and being able to see them live was really, really influential in my life, you know.
That's awesome, man. Well, we're going to have to get back to your Northwest roots here in just a minute, but I do want to talk a little bit about the solo album. So again, by the time you hear this, it will be out. Forest Nocturne is the name of the Lord album, and this is Greg Anderson's work under the name The Lord, and it's out on Southern Lord. So I'm curious, you know, you've probably been asked this a bunch, but, you know, I have to ask, how long have you had the idea of doing like a solo album, not one of your bands, but a solo thing?
It's pretty recent, actually. I never really had an idea or a sort of inspiration or desire to do one. Mm-hmm. I've always been the kind of person or musician who, was content with and, you know, just made music with a group, you know, yeah. a group of people. That's when I would make, you know, of course I come up with ideas on my own and, you know, I would, you know, self-record things here and there, different riffs and ideas, and then but always bring them into, you know, other, you know, a practice or with a group with other people, like, in, or in the case of Sun, it's like Stephen O'Malley and myself, mm-hmm. we usually start, you know, each sort of writing session or recording session with somebody has a bunch of ideas that we start with, you know, and then we build on those together, but they're just kind of, you know, they're very, very skeletal, you know, that's mm-hmm. very, just some basic, roots to start with and then hopefully in develop off of. So this was really interesting for me in that I, you know, as with a lot of people, you know, the pandemic, it's like I had a lot more time on my hands to do stuff that I hadn't done in the past. And one of those things was to really sort of sit down and create and write music by myself. Yeah. So while I was doing that, I actually, there were some interesting sounds that were coming out. It's kind of interesting ideas. So I was like, this is cool. This is different. And I don't know where I would put this. I don't know if this is for Sun. And plus, I don't know when we're going to be able to get in the same room together.
Yeah.
So I just kept on going with it. And I amassed a good amount of, ideas. And then I basically taught myself how to use a digital 8-track recorder. I've always been a complete caveman when it comes to technology as far as recording and stuff, like home recording.
Sure.
I don't know how to use GarageBand, none of that stuff, but I was like, well, you know, I think this is a time to teach myself. So I basically taught myself how to use this Tascam 8-track digital recorder.
Nice.
And I just loved it. I love being able to, you know, it's still very archaic and rudimentary, but, you know, just to demo some ideas, mm-hmm. I call it kind of like, you know, a glorified sketch pad, totally. For ideas, but, you know, I was able to get some really cool sounds and layer some stuff, which is like, that's cool. There's like a layer different ideas and different textures and different things like that. So that was like, you know, I started writing all these demos that was pretty soon. I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep going with this and by myself. And I decided to, work with, you know, after demoing some stuff, I decided to work with, this producer, Brad Wood, mm-hmm. who is somebody who I really wanted to, I hadn't worked with yet, previously, but I really wanted to, we both really wanted to do something together. And I said, well, hey, I've got all these things I've been writing on my own, you know, no other people are involved in this yet. He's like, yeah, come on over to my studio and let's work on this stuff. So since December of 2020, I've been, every couple months I go in and record, my ideas or these demos that I've been working on with him. And so it's been about probably recorded about 16 different pieces of music cool. with this guy, over the last couple of years, which is just, for me, it's like, that never happened before. I literally, you know, was not a solo or a home recording guy. Like I said, I was just always doing stuff with bands. So this is all really fresh and exciting and new for me. Yeah. And it's cool. It's cool too. You know, I love making music with other people. And that's like, you know, keep on saying, that's how I've made music in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool to try to do something where there was absolutely no input, direction, or influence really from anyone else. You know, it's like, and just kind of let yourself, you know, you're the master, and you're, yeah, you know, you're steering the ship, you know, and it sounds kind of simplistic, but I'd never really been in that position before, you know? So, it's been interesting to explore that and exciting too, because, some of the stuff that I've been doing, I really, 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 really proud of. And, it's cool to hear it sort of, you know, when I bring it out of my garage and bring it into, with, start working with Brad Wood on it, mm-hmm, it definitely takes shape into something different. And he, you know, he's an incredible producer, but you know, it really is, you know, sort of, it's way more my sort of me steering the ship, and me, you know, I'm the captain here, which is different, you know, different than before, than the way I was before.
You are the Lord here. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Pun intended. So, you know, something I've mentioned with, you know, I've been doing a lot of interviews with people and over the pandemic, and something that's like a theme, it seems like, is a lot of people pivoting to learn new trades. I mean, and learning new things to kind of add to their tool belt. You know, I didn't, mm-hmm, you know, how to edit any video. And I've taught myself how to do that. And I just, you know, just pieced together my first live in-person interview with Code Orange this week. So it's just something that I added to my tool belt. And you know, you took upon this whole new thing of solo recording, and now that's something that it sounds like it has inspired you.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a lot of other recordings that I've done with Brad that have other people that other people are collaborating with me on. Like, you know, there's I have an entire record of compositions that I wrote that this vocalist Petra Hayden did these incredible vocals for it. She plays some violin on it too. So, and then I released a couple singles earlier or last year, mm-hmm, with different people. I did a track with this woman, Robin Waddy, mm-hmm, on vocals. She's from a band called Big Brave that,
yeah,
have released several amazing albums on Southern Lord. And then I did a track with actually with William Duvall from Alice in Chains.
Awesome.
Vocals. That was really, I've been a fan of his for a really long time, and an incredible musician and incredible vocalist. So being able to collaborate with him was really cool. But those were songs or tracks basically that I composed and wrote and then recorded. And then I asked if they would contribute vocals to, and I was really fortunate they did. So, so it's not all completely solo stuff,
sure,
that I've been working on, but yeah, there's, you know, it's exciting to be, you know, to have this sort of, this creative outpouring happening for me. It's something new because, as I've said many times and, before, it was with other people, and that's when my creative, you know, output would happen was with the group. So now to have it be solo or, mm-hmm, mostly solo, my company it's really exciting.
Fans of black metal will be stoked because I saw on the press release that you actually worked with Attila from Mayhem on the final track. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, Attila is someone who's worked with Sun for, you know, a lot, and he's been featured on several of our records,
yeah,
and he's a close friend, and I think he's an amazing artist. So, yeah. I had this track, yeah, that's the one track on the album that has somebody has features another performer on it,
mm-hmm,
and I chose that just because I thought the track was, when I wrote the track and demoed it and then recorded it with Brad, I just thought it would be really cool to have some other sounds, some vocalizing on this track. And I really was hearing Attila and thought his presence on the track would be really special. So I asked him if he was, you know, if he was interested, if he was really excited about doing something. So, and it ended up happening, and I thought what he contributed to that track is incredible. It's super it makes it amazing.
Sounds like you have quite the Rolodex of musical friends, my friend. That's awesome.
Been very lucky over the years, for sure.
So, you know, we talked about it right at the start. So, you know, you have a strong connection to the Northwest scene and just the Northwest in general. You live down in LA. That's where Southern Lord's based, if I'm right. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
But were you born here in Seattle or born up in the Northwest?
No, I was actually born in Texas.
Okay.
But I moved to Seattle. My mom was born and raised in Seattle in the Ballard area.
Yeah.
And so when I was about 2 years old, she was living in Texas at the time.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up moving back to Seattle when I was two. So I basically spent from, 2 years old till I was 26 living in Seattle. So, it was all my formative years and all my schooling years are all spent there. There's a really strong connection, of course, with the Northwest. A lot of my family still lives up there. My little brother lives there. My mom still lives there. So it was, an important, very important place for me.
So I'm going to ask you a few Northwest centric questions, if that's okay.
Of course.
So, a long time ago, I'm not sure if you remember, but there was a Cro-Mag show at the Vera Project. That's the first time I met you through our friend Ron Gardapi.
He was, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He would have been 55 just like last week, I think.
I was talking to a close friend of our, mutual friend of ours, and she was mentioning that. Yeah.
So Ron Gardapi, vocalist for one of your first bands, straight edge hardcore band Brotherhood. And, we end up having some beers, after the show. And, when I say the name Ron Gardapi, what's your immediate thought? What are some of your favorite memories of Ron?
Oh man, there's so many. Think about him often. It's funny you mention that, because I was texting with this friend of ours, just the other day, and he came to mind. Because he came into my mind because I saw that Merciful Fate was going to be touring this year.
Yes. Psycho Las Vegas. Yeah.
And they're going to, so I was like, oh, I immediately thought of Ron. Mm-hmm. There's just like certain bands that, if they're mentioned or if I'm listening to them, the first thing that comes to my mind is Ron. Merciful Fate's one of them. Celtic Frost is the other one. SSD Control is another one. We had a very strong friendship and we played some music together. And it's funny because, when we had a band together in like 1989, 1988 Brotherhood, we were definitely friends, and I'm really proud of what we did in that band. It was very short lived, but we actually, after the band broke up, a couple years after the band broke up, we became even closer friends.
Cool.
And it was really interesting. We've gone through a lot of different paths and directions in our lives. We started out, as these hardcore kids and hardcore straight edge kids. And then we got really into other things and started experiencing drugs and girls and different things. And every path that we sort of went down in our lives, we sort of went down together.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was important, a person that was really important to me. It may sound cliche or cheesy, but he definitely was like a brother. And it's funny because I don't know if felt like we were brothers during Brotherhood, but afterwards there was no doubt about it. We were definitely brothers. I was really awful and hurt a lot. When he passed, and I miss him all the time. He was an amazing person, really influential, really turned me on to a lot of great music.
Yeah.
And his sort of, his enthusiasm and his passion for music is what was also extremely inspiring for me, for Southern Lord, and for all the bands that, I've ever played music. He was always super supportive, no matter what band I was in, whether it was Galleon's Lap or Engine Kid or And even if I don't, you know, even I think if he wasn't exactly into the music, he was always super supportive.
Yeah.
And he'd always tell me, like, he's like, Greg, you can't write a bad riff. You can't be in a bad band. Like you're, you know, he was always so supportive and championed whatever I did, no matter, even if it was probably something that maybe he wasn't his style.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a hero of mine. For sure.
Legend, man. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
So are you aware? I'm sure you're aware, but just to let you know, in case, you know, you forgot, it is like a freaking voyage for every hardcore kid now when they come up to the Northwest to take a photo at Brotherhood Park, as they call it.
Carrie, you see those pictures
from time to time?
Oh, absolutely. You know what's hilarious is I was just in Seattle last month. Took my daughter up there for her spring break. It was just her and I. It was great. Great little trip.
Yeah.
And we stayed right by there.
Nice.
And I forgot to go to the, I had shown her the pictures and, you know, told her the story, and she, so she was like, oh, okay, we'll have to do that. One of our, you know, we were there for like a week, and I totally, like, when I was on the plane going home, I'm like, man, I forgot to go to Brotherhood Park and take those photos. You know, that would have been awesome. But that's amazing that, you know, people still go there and those photos still come out. It's that's another moment where, of course, the first thing I think of is Ron, and it really, you know, it makes me smile and it's heartwarming, you know what I mean?
Totally.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I put up on the Metal Shop Twitter, I said, okay, we're about to talk with Greg Anderson. You know, he's a Northwest dude. And Damon Stewart, the old KISW DJ, he said.
Oh, wow.
He said, ask him about working at Peaches. So tell me about
Peaches. Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, totally. That was right during Brotherhood, where I got a job at Peaches in the U District.
Cool.
Working in the stock area in the basement, and Damon also worked there.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because we got turned on to a lot of great music. There was a guy named Dean Overton that worked there that like turned me on to a lot of great metal. And, that was crazy because I worked there. And then, that's when Brotherhood got asked to tour with the Accused.
Yes.
And, who are some old friends of ours, and one of the first like hardcore underground hardcore metal bands that I ever got into was when I first saw those guys play, right? 1980. I saw them in 1985 at the Gorilla Gardens. And so I became friends with those guys, ever since that show. And then they were going on tour, and they asked Brotherhood to go on tour with them. And it was like, I had just gotten this cool job at Peaches, and I was like, oh man, I got this really cool job finally working in a rec store. working around these other cool, these people that are really cool and into cool music. And I had to leave because we got that tour opportunity. Dude. It was kind of a bummer, but that was a great time. I discovered, you know, and was turned on to a lot of music back then. And it was funny because Damon, you know, I think he maybe got a job after me, or maybe it was right around the same time. But I remember we lost touch after Brother had went on tour and stuff. And then I was like so blown away that his voice was on that Soundgarden track.
Yes.
Working with my good eye closed. And I was like, oh my God, it's Damon Stewart. Because I was just a massive, massive Soundgarden fan. And then I heard, hearing his voice, I was so stoked to hear. Oh, I used to work with that guy.
Right?
Yeah. It's cool, man.
Well, you know, you kind of teed it up right there, man. Perfect segue. So, you know, you mentioned Soundgarden. There's so many iconic Northwest bands. I mean, you're in some of them. If you had to pick, and I'm not going to say like a number you have to pick, but what are some of your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
The Melvins.
Yes.
For sure. The Accused.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Church. But I'd have to say, have to kind of put a time frame on that timeline. The first Metal Church album.
Mm-hmm.
And the demos around, or basically the era with David Wayne singing. That was, I remember getting that first Metal Church album in 1984, and how just blew me away. I was so obsessed. I'm still to this day obsessed with that first album. So great.
Yeah.
And then Soundgarden for sure. Yep. They're one of my favorite bands ever. And I really like Tad.
Yep.
And those are probably, let's leave it there. I mean, Nirvana is amazing,
yeah.
And especially the Bleach record. That's kind of more obvious,
sure.
You know. And then to go real deep, I would say, and again, it's the first album only, but Forced Entry, first album, Uncertain Future. I remember when that came out, I was just so blown away. That's the riffs. Everything, the production is just incredible.
A few years ago, KISW, we moved locations to a different radio station. Still there, but just a different location, you know, as our lease, you know, came due and we moved to a different location. And we were getting rid of a lot of, you know, stuff. And they were going more like digitals. And so I got a bunch of albums, you know, I got like some Gitz records on vinyl. And I got, you know, some Green River. And then I got Forced Entry, Uncertain Future. And they were just giving it away for free. I was like, wait, nobody's taking this? And like Girl Trouble and Forced Entry. I was like, okay, And Fastbacks was like, dude, you guys don't even know what you have right here, but I'll take them.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I mean, those bands you mentioned, too, such a diverse array of bands.
Yes.
That's another thing that I always thought was, and you know, that's always the thing I thought was very special about music from the Northwest is that it really didn't seem to concern itself with genre or being classified. It was like, it could be anything. And I think that kind of spirit has really been important for me throughout my life. And, you know, because I my taste in music, what I'm into is extremely eclectic. Mm-hmm. I'm all over the place and it's always been that way. And I think a lot of it has to do with the spirit of the Northwest and those bands that, and there was so much great music, you know, it's like, getting into, you know, punk rock and hardcore, but also my favorite band being the Melvins, who were very, you know, at the time they were like, you know, playing as slow as they possibly could, where the music that I was listening to was going as fast as it possible.
Yeah.
You know, but I really enjoyed it. And I think some of the bands that I was exposed to from those bands, like Black Sabbath, and the Stooges and MC5 and heavy, you know, different 70s kind of hard rock heavy bands, that influence in their music was some, you know, it's like, okay, well, it makes it very diverse and interesting. And, that was something it's always sort of been part of my taste, you know, music.
Well, like that diversity that you're mentioning, it very much, you know, it is very evident through the Southern Lord discography. So, you know, you'll have a band like Power Trip or Zabalba, and then you'll have a Boris or an Earth or a Thrones and Wolves in the Throne Room and all over the place. It's all heavy. It could be heavy in different ways, but, you know, it that's one unifying thing is it seems like we can really tell nobody's going to get rich off of putting out underground music, but I can tell that it's something that you probably love every record you put out, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's kind of, you know, for better or for worse, that's the, you know, that's been the ideology and sort of the, you know, the of the label is that it has to, I don't put out things that I don't believe in and that I don't love. I've been approached over the years by some incredibly successful projects or bands that went on to be incredibly successful, but I didn't like it, so I passed. And I've had several managers or bands say, "I can't believe you're going to pass on this. You know, this is going to be big, or it's already big. You know, and we're offering you to, you know, to get in on this and be part of this and make some money and be successful with it." It's like, well, that's great, but I don't like it. You know, I don't want. Like, I have to feel comfortable putting my name behind everything that I do. It's not worth doing for me. I just can't do it. It's not something that I feel comfortable with. So for better or for worse, but I think for me, it's for better in the long run, because, people can sense that. Then there's, and that's what I, you know, I think the bullshit detector on people has gotten stronger and better over the years, and especially in the underground community. Mm-hmm. They can detect that stuff, you know, miles away right away. So, you know, I don't want to not, I'm not going to sling bullshit. You know, it's like this, whatever I do, it's like, this is what I believe in. And I think this is great. I'm really excited to hopefully share it with you.
Yeah, dude. And that's something that's very evident and obvious. So, just wanted to put that out there. So someone, you know, say a kid who's getting into heavy music wants to check out Southern Lord. I hate to do this to you because they're probably all your babies. But what's a starter pack? What's like three or four essential Southern Lord albums you would give them to start with?
Huh. That's a good question. I haven't asked that one in a while. I would say Power Trip, Nightmare Logic.
Yes.
I think that's one of the most classic thrash albums ever created.
Yep. R.I.P.
Riley Gale. And God, what else? So difficult. I would say I don't know. I would say, you know, if I had to choose a Sun record, I would choose Monoliths and Dimensions. I think that would be a good place for people to start.
Yeah.
And then, God, this is a tough one. You got me
it's
here.
An evil one.
Because I don't want to leave anybody out, but I'm gonna obviously have to. I'm gonna throw a Northwest one in there.
Okay.
Black Breath.
Yes.
Heavy Breathing.
Oh yes, dude. R.I.P. Elijah. What the hell, man? God.
No, that was awful.
So many legends.
Actually, you know what? Let's not do Heavy Breathing. Let's do, I'm sorry, Sentenced to Life.
Good one, too. Yes.
Dude. Yeah.
Anything they put out, man. So good.
Black, yeah.
Iconic.
And I would say, you know, also, I think we should throw in like a reissue record, too, that we've done. I would say, I think a good one is it's kind of a wild card. I'd say the Offenders reissue that we did is probably one of my favorite things one of my favorite reissues, the Endless Struggle, We Must Rebel reissue. That was a record that was really either that one or or the first Blast record, cool. Expression of Power. But those are two hardcore records that were like extremely important to me. Growing up, they had a huge influence on all my the earlier hardcore bands I was in Seattle, like False Liberty and Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to pick. You know, it's hard to pick from the catalog because, like, you know, to me, there's so many great we've been so lucky to work with so many great artists and involved with some great albums. I mean, you know, the Nails records we did, I'm extremely proud of as well.
Boris Pink. I mean,
those early Boris records. Sure. The Earth records.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that we've been super fortunate to be able to work with.
Yeah.
So, that's why it didn't come to mind right away, but, I don't know. It's hard to pick because everything to me is great. You know?
Absolutely, man. So I'm sorry to do that to you, but I had to, had to do the journalistic thing, quote unquote,
For me, it's like, what I'm hoping for is I hope people just will search it out.
Yeah.
I think that sort of whole, discovering something on your own, that's the most powerful. And that's to me how I got into this music, was like growing up, going down to Fallout Records, and just taking a chance on a 7-inch, like, 7 Seconds, Committed for Life 7-inch, or the DRI 7-inch. I'm like, I've heard these bands' names, but I'm just gonna, I'm gonna take a chance, Septic Death, the first Septic Death LP. That's when I bought it at Fallout, and it's like,
nice.
It's just so, just discovering something like, I've heard about this, and I'm just gonna take a chance, and then just that being blown away. That's like that sort of discovering stuff like that to me is so important and so powerful. So I kind of hope that people will do that with our catalog,
I hope so too, man. And those are some good things to start with if you want to, but I would suggest, just check them all out. There's something in there for everyone if you like any kind of heavy music. So,
yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, again, the new debut full-length solo album under the Lord name, Forest Nocturne. It's out now. If you're listening to this, it's out now. But my final question for you is a question we ask everyone here. Pick a scar on your body and tell us a quick story of how you got the scar.
A scar?
Yeah.
Can it be a... gonna be a tattoo?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. I guess I'll talk about my first tattoo that I ever got. Got it at on Pine Street. At some little tattoo places there. I don't know if it's still there or not. It was a long time ago. It was probably 1989. I got a straight edge tattoo, True Till Death.
Nice.
And I got it with friend of mine, Julie Roberts, who was a close friend and someone who was part of the Brotherhood crew. That was my first tattoo. And I remember, it's funny, I was working at Peaches Records when I got the tattoo.
Yeah.
And it was, I experienced my first, like, I don't know if this ever happens to other people or not, but sometimes when I get a tattoo, I'm like, man, should I have got that tattoo? I'm not sure, And you're like, you're just kind of like dealing with it on your body for the first time. And, processing all that in your head. And I remember I was like, I was a zombie at work because I couldn't figure out if it was a good idea. This is my very first tattoo ever to get. But I remember stocking and packing and picking records at Peaches Records and going, should I have gotten that tattoo? What if I'm going to drink later in life? And, sure enough, I'm not drinking later in life, but I still love the tattoo. And it reminds me of a special time. And it does remind me of Brotherhood and Ron at times too. So
True Till Death or Until I Grow My Hair Out. Either way.
Yeah. True Till College, all that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Greg, thank you so much, man. Again, check out The Lord, Forest Nocturne, out now on Southern Lord Records. Any final words for the Northwest and for KISW?
No, thanks a lot for your time. It was a real honor to talk with you and be on KISW. It's a huge part of my youth, Seattle's best rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.